It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Thursday, November 26th. I'm Patricia Naft. A Western Slope town realized they've been waiting for a federal response that was never going to happen. KVNF's Jake Ryan has more.
It's no secret that dealing with a large governmental organization can be frustrating. They may not be responsive or even lose your paperwork. That can happen even if you're a government yourself. That's what happened to the town of Cedar Edge. Town Administrator Kathleen Sickles says they've been trying to get rid of a hydroelectric station that's been turned off for years.
At the time that the hydro plant was operating, it would vibrate so immensely that they thought the thing would basically blow up our system. There was an amount of electricity that was created, but the town only received a couple hundred to maybe a little close to $1,000 in revenue regarding that hydro plant. Not enough to put our water treatment system at risk.
So they decided to decommission the plant, but it's not as simple as just demolition. They had to send a letter to surrender the plant to FERC, or the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. So they did, 2 years ago.
We assumed that that was in Washington, D.C., being processed. And when the inspector notified us that he was going to come out and inspect our hydro plant for our biannual inspection, we were all a little bit shocked. So we had a discussion with him about the decommissioning, and he said, well, you need to send a letter to surrender your plant. And of course, we all thought we had done that.
After months of trying to get a hold of someone, even reaching out to Senator Tipton, Sickles eventually heard back. It turns out the Hydro Compliance Office was reorganizing and lost their letter. Cedar Edge has since restarted the bureaucratic process with their old letter. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
Colorado Mesa University plans to offer a new degree program. KVNF's Laura Pomisano reports.
CMU plans to launch a surgical technology program next fall at its Grand Junction campus. Deborah Bailey is the director of health sciences at the university.
And it is an associate degree program that will prepare students to be surgical technologists. They'll be able to help in the surgical operating room.
Bailey says hospitals in the region requested CMU offer the degree.
Surgical technologists are really hard to find in this area, and the growth expectancy for this job is expected to be in Colorado at 36% by 2022.
She says that's around 1,700 jobs in Colorado alone. Students interested in the program will need to complete a year of prerequisites first. Bailey anticipates the application process will be competitive.
We will cap it at 12. To start, and that is because it's such an intense program.
She says students in the program will train one-on-one with nurses, physicians, and surgical techs in the operating room. For KVNF, I'm Laura Palmisano.
Bowie Resource Partners, the energy company that owns Bowie No. 2 mine north of Paonia, is on a buying spree. The company recently purchased the El Segundo and Lee Ranch mines in New Mexico and the 20-mile mine here in Colorado. The investment cost the company about $358 million in cash and the assumption of some liabilities. At the No. 2 mine in Paonia, Bowie announced a few months ago that 100 workers would be laid off as they idle their longwall. Turkey and travel, those are two of the major themes of most Americans' Thanksgiving. They are also two of the major players when it comes to calculating the carbon footprint of the typical Thanksgiving experience. For Inside Energy, Lou Bluin of Allegheny Front has more.
Turns out the guy who may know the most about the carbon footprint of an American Thanksgiving hasn't ever experienced one himself.
I haven't actually, although it doesn't look all that dissimilar from our Christmas dinner in the UK.
This is Mike Berners-Lee, and he's considered one of the world's leading experts on the carbon footprint of, well, everything. In fact, he wrote a book subtitled The Carbon Footprint of Everything. So earlier this week, I phoned him at his office in the UK to talk a little turkey.
Yeah, sure. Okay, well, turkey's a meat. And most of the time, the thing to say about meats is that they're quite an inefficient way of having nutrition. But having said that, chicken and turkeys are very much at the efficient end of the meat spectrum.
That's because a Thanksgiving turkey can go from an egg to a bird that's 20 pounds or more in just 14 weeks. So they're not really on the planet long enough to make that big an impact. And it turns out it doesn't even matter all that much if you go with a local bird, which only has to ship from the farmer down the road.
Well, it matters a bit. but it would still be fairly small compared to the actual footprint of growing the animal in the first place.
In fact, Berners-Lee says transportation might only account for about 25% of the turkey's total carbon footprint, assuming it's not shipping by air. But bottom line, having a turkey on your Thanksgiving table is not all that bad. And the same goes for corn, potatoes, cranberries, pumpkins, and a lot of the other foods that end up on your plate.
So they're seasonal vegetables, and they keep well, and you don't have to do anything crazy like put them on an aeroplane. So they're fantastic. In fact, you probably can't have lower carbon footprint food than potatoes and pumpkins.
So all in all, the Thanksgiving dinner looks pretty good from a carbon footprint standpoint. That is, if you go traditional.
Yeah, so okay, well, this year's a little bit different. A little bit of a curveball. But there is no turkey.
This is WESA reporter Margaret Krause. She agreed to let us dissect the carbon footprint of her Thanksgiving plans, which are still kind of coming together.
There is a meat that will be grilled outside. Maybe we're doing bratwurst. Maybe we're doing chicken. Maybe we're doing steak.
Whatever she decides to cook, it sounds like it's going to be a bit of a fire drill. The plan is to get on a plane and on Wednesday night hit the supermarket to pick up some supplies when she lands.
So check this. I'm getting on a bus that will take me to the airport, that will take me to Minneapolis, that will take me to Salt Lake City, and then driving from Salt Lake City to Provo, Utah.
So all in all, a pretty big trip. And that, along with the alternative menu, could get Margaret into some trouble, according to Mike Berners-Lee.
Well, yeah, red meats are quite a lot less efficient. The carbon footprint of beef would be about 24 kilos of carbon dioxide equivalent per kilo of beef, whereas for turkey, it'd be nearer 3.
And the air travel is a real killer.
So a Boeing 747 will get through, I can't remember the exact number off the top of my head, but it's 100 and something tons of fuel per trip. So you end up with an enormous carbon footprint shared out between the passengers, and your friend has to take a few tons of it on the chin.
Even worse, Berners-Lee says the fact that the fuel is burning higher up in the atmosphere doubles the climate impacts. So drive if you can, better yet, take a train. But how does the carbon footprint of Thanksgiving travel stack up against the Thanksgiving meal? Well, Berners-Lee did a quick calculation on my 500-mile trip back to Michigan by car.
So you're getting through about 50 liters of gas. So that would be the same carbon footprint as turning up and finding your way through 50 kilos of turkey, which would be quite an achievement.
Yeah, no way that's happening, even with leftovers. And at my house, my mom has a pretty energy-efficient way for storing those. When the fridge fills up, as long as the Michigan fall weather is cooperating, she puts the turkey in her car to keep it cold. Pretty sure that method is keeping the planet safe from harm. Not sure I can say the same for us. For Inside Energy, I'm Lou Bluin.
Lou's story comes to us from Allegheny Front, a news magazine covering the environment in Pennsylvania. For KBNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.